Okay, we're going to start here with the Mishnah on Samachay Amud Aleph. The Mishnah begins, Ketzad Eino Sin. How do they perform the Ktzirat HaOmer when it came to the night before the night of the 16th when they had to prepare the Omer? Shluchei Beitin Yotzim Erev Yom Tov. Shluchei Beitin go out before Yom Tov. Osim Otan Krichot B'Mechubar LeKarka. They go ahead and they tie them. They tie the tops of the stalks together. Sheinoach L'Ktzur. It would be easy to cut. When it comes to the time to cut it, it would be very easy to cut. This is especially in a situation where it's going to be Shabbat at that time, and they would have to cut on Shabbat itself. But either way, they set it up in a way that it makes it very easy to do at night. Kol ha'yarot ha'smuchot l'sham mitkansot l'sham. All the surrounding cities gather together to come watch the Ktzirat HaOmer. Kedei she'niksar be'esek gadol. In order that there will be a great ruckus, there should be a lot of people present, there should be publicity about the fact that they're doing the Omer. Kevin she'ashecha, dark fell. Omer lahem ba'ashemesh. Did the sun set? Has the sun gone down? Amar hin, they say to him yes. Ba'ashemesh. Again, he says that did the sun go down? Amar hin, they say yes. Magazu, should I use this sickle? Omer hin. Magazu, Omer hin. This sickle again, he says yes. Kupazu, should I use this basket to gather the stalks, the sheaves that we're going to cut? Omer hin. Kupazu, Omer hin. Is Shabbat Omer lahem? If it turns out to be Shabbat, meaning that the 16th of the Omer is Shabbat, that means that Pesach fell out on Friday, which we don't have a possibility of having now, but with Kiddush HaChodesh you could have had it, that Pesach was Erev Shabbat, and therefore the Omer would have been taking place on Shabbat itself. Shabbat, that was Friday night, Amar Lehem, Shabbat Zu, Amar Hin. On today, on Shabbat, we should do it? Yes. Shabbat Zu, Amar Hin. Ksor, should I harvest it? Should I cut it? Ve'im Amrim Lo Ksor, go ahead. Ksor, should I harvest it? Ve'im Lo Ksor, Shalosh Pi'amim Al-Kol Davar B'Davar. Even though the Mishnah only mentions twice in each of these situations, they actually repeated it three times, which was very common. In Chazal, even when we daven, when you want to emphasize something, you want to give a sense of importance to something, repeat it three times. So over here, they're repeating it three times. Why? Kol kach lama. What is all this ceremonial, unnecessary fanfare to the cutting of the Omer? Mipnei ha-baitusim. Shayu omrim, en ktzirat omer b'motzei yom tov. That the baitusim will believe that when it says in the pasuk, mimacharat ha-shabbat, it literally means mimachar ha-shabbat. That means the Sunday. It will always be on a Sunday. Mimachar ha-shabbat does not mean the day after Yom Tov, the day after Pesach, but rather the day after Shabbat. So in order to afuke from the Baitusim and to show that they weren't doing it at that time, Kamei made a big ruckus and had all the people come in and made a huge publicity out of the Ktzirat HaOmer in order to indicate that they weren't doing it like the Baitusim. And Mimacharat HaShabbat means Mimacharat Yom Tov and not Mimacharat HaShabbat. The Gemara is going to spend now the time discussing why is it that way. Why are they wrong? Why is it that Macharat HaShabbat is not the day after Shabbat, but rather the day after Yom Tov? And to be really honest with you, the Baitusim have a very strong claim that Mimacharat HaShabbat should be the day after Shabbat. The proof that the Chachamim bring are okay, they work, but in many of the instances, if you define it as Macharat HaShabbat, it would work better. So there are one or two of them that are pretty strong, and there are ways to answer it. There are good positions to take in terms of why it is that Mimacharat HaShabbat is Macharat Yom Tov of Pesach. Couple of which are, which the Gemara doesn't mention, is that the parsha begins, Eile Moedei Hashem, Asher Tikru Otam B'Moedam. These are the Moedim of Hashem, and what's the first Moed that's mentioned is Shabbat. So you see there that Shabbat is defined as a Moed, and that they're used in an interchangeable manner. Here you call something a Moed, and then you introduce Shabbat. We see, first of all, the interchangeability used over here, that's number one. Number two is that the word Shabbat, as Rashi points out, is used in other places as well as in Navi, one of the key places with Elisha Navi, when Isha Shunamit goes to him and her husband says to her, why are you going to visit the Navi today? Because lo chodesh velo Shabbat. Not chodesh, not Shabbat. Obviously she didn't go every Shabbat to visit the Navi. Shabbat here means Yom Tov. From that the Gemara Rosh Hashanah learns out that here is a chiyuv to visit one's Rebbe on the regel. Kol mekabel pnei rabo beregel kilu mekabel pnei shechina. That's learned out of that word Shabbat. You see that the word Shabbat is used in a much broader sense of regel. Within the parashat HaMoadim, again the Shabbat is first, then Shabbat is known as Shabbat Shabbaton, and Yom Kippur is known as Shabbat Shabbaton. So if there's Shabbat Shabbaton, that means that everything else is Shabbat, which would also include that Shabbat means Yom Tov. The other thing, when we say in Kiddush, we say every Friday night, when we say in Kiddush, we say that Shabbat is Techila, the Mikra E Kodesh, beginning of the Mikra E Kodesh. So again, we see the word Shabbat as a paradigmatic, or Rosenzweig would say a paradigmatic Yom Tov. Shabbat sets the standard for all holy days, all Mikra E Kodesh, and everything is in reference or in contrast to Shabbat. When we talk about Shabbat, Shabbat is the idea or paradigm of a Yom Tov or a Shabbat, and therefore everything is compared to that. So that means that a Moed is also a Shabbat in some form. So all of these would be good reasons why that you could say that Shabbat means Yom Tov and means Pesach, not Shabbat. The most radical one, which I heard my brother-in-law mention to me, that somebody spoke in his community, Kashmonim, it said that there was an ancient holiday in the time of the Gemara, in the time of the Tanakh, called the Shvivtu, which was a celebration, a mini Rosh Chodesh celebration at the full moon on the 15th of the month. That was called Shabbat or Shivtu. And then so Mimachad Shabbat would be the day after the 15th of the month. That celebration of the mini Rosh Chodesh called, that was also called Shabbat, but also another way to explain it that would also come out in that manner. These are all options for explaining it. None of these are what Chazal used. We had many of those stronger interpretations and strong ways to explain it without it being really stretched. Over here, we're going to see some stretches to make it work. So now, Tarabanan, Elaine, Yomaya, these are days on which you do not fast. And some of these days, you don't even give misped, you don't even give eulogies on. So that would suggest that not fasting or the requirement not to fast is a lower level. The higher level is that you may not even give a eulogy on that day. From Shchodesh until the 8th day of Nisan, they were able to establish the Tamid. They were able to win, we'll see in a second, a challenge from the Baitusim in order to say that the Tamid works the way that the Chachamim suggested. From the 8th until after Pesach, they were able to win against the Baitusim in a challenge about when Shavuot should fall out, meaning the Maharat HaShabbat issue. To love Misbeid, that they wouldn't be Misbeid, they would not eulogize on those days. So over here we have, first of all, which is Lo Misbeid. Over there we don't have any Hesbeid. So those, when we don't have Hesbeid, indicates that it's a higher level of Chag. So as Rashi says that they won them, there was a great Nitzachon because they had a strong claim, which we'll see in a second. They had a strong claim, and nevertheless the Chachamim were able to disprove them. On the other hand, Mitam Yabeyab Tzof Ma'ada, from the 8th till the end of the Chag, Itoto of Chag Deshvaya, which is this argument of Machad HaShabbat. The Lo, here's so that we have is Lo the Hana Bahon, right? The Rashi would be not to fast on them, which was a lower level of Simcha. And Rashi argues that it's a lower level of Simcha because that Tzeret Lo Yash Shum Raya the Divrei Baitusim. Because the Tzeret doesn't really work according to the words of the Baitusim. Avo Mutamid Aita Raya the Divrehem. Now I'll tell you, to be honest with you, Rashi is very difficult because the Pashtut HaPshat Mimachad HaShabbat means the day after Shabbat does mean Sunday. And the Baitusim do have a very strong case to make it that it's Mimachad HaShabbat, despite the fact that we have many proofs that the Chachamim bring. Still, the strongest answer, the simplest way to read it is Mimachad HaShabbat, which would be Sunday. And they do have a strong proof against it. So Rashi is saying here that the celebration about winning the challenge about the Tamid was more significant than winning against them with Mimachad HaShabbat. Some way it seems strange because it would seem to be the other way around. It seems to be more significant and seems to be a harder battle to win. Nevertheless, Rashi downplays this idea of Mimachad HaShabbat. On the other hand, Tosfot has the opposite girsa. He has the girsa, which is that the first set of days was the Lo Nit'ana Bahon, that you wouldn't fast on them, and the latter days were the Lo Misbeid Bahon, that you wouldn't have a Misbeid on them. It means that they were a higher level of Simcha. Again, would make a lot more sense in terms of being victorious against the Baitusim with regards to Mimachad HaShabbat. But also, one of Tosfot's proofs is that the Gemara here doesn't discuss it, but in other places discusses the fact that afterwards and before, the reason that the Gemara asks, well, why do you need it for Rosh Chodesh? And why do you need it for Pesach? Pesach automatically, you have all these things in place. And why do you need it for Rosh Chodesh? Gemara there says for the day before and the day afterwards. The day afterwards, if you have the Isser restriction against having misbeith, then the day after also has a lower form of Kedusha, that you're loaded down a bahon. You can't establish a fast day. The same is true on the earlier day, on Rosh Chodesh. If you didn't need it then why do we have it mentioned? Is because that would prevent us from having a tainit on the Erev Rosh Chodesh because of the low misbeid bahon. Now it can't work on both sides because it only works when it's low misbeid bahon. Only when it's the higher level of Simcha do we say that it affects the Erev or the Macharat. So according to Rashi, it's going to be a problem for the day after Pesach because it's only the Lo Nit'ana Bahon, according to Rashi, whereas the Lo Misbeid Bahon was in the beginning. And according to Tosfos, it's the other way around. He has the Lo Misbeid Bahon going over Pesach, so the day after will be explained why you need it. But Rosh Chodesh was only a case of the Lo Nit'ana Bahon, so what was the day before? What was the restriction on the day before? So each of them have a problem on each side of it, but that's why by Chanukah, for instance, the Gemara discusses the fact that we can't, and they had this problem when they want to make taniyot for the Yetzirat HaGeshem, They can't do it on Erev Chanukah, and they don't do it on Motzei Chanukah, because that's one of the holidays that's lowly tanot b'hon below the misved b'hon. And since it has both aspects of it, therefore the day before and the day after are affected as well, and you can't fast on Erev Chanukah or on Motzei Chanukah. That's the same type of idea. We know that the Gemara says in other places that Batla Megillah Tanit. Megillah Tanit was totally invalidated. We don't keep it except for two items in there, which are Chanukah and Purim. So it's only two things that remain from Megillah Tanit. So that won't help us. These days won't help us with regards to the Tanit Bechorim. In their time, it would have helped, right, in terms of Tanit Bechorot. And it really meant that the whole month of Nisan, like what we have today, the Nihog, that we don't have any Hasbeidim, we don't have any Taniyot. I mean, it's really a month of Geula and Simcha. And this really reinforced it with these victories over the Baik Tusim that they established these holidays with. All right, so either way, you have a problem. We lean a little bit towards Tosfot Pshat, although the Gilyon HaShas, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, has a challenge to Tosfot Pshat and says, well, the Gemara in Tanit asks, why is it that you need the overlap of the 8 day? Well, if it really was an upgrade, like Tosfot says, then why is the Gemara even asking about the overlap of the 8 day? It would have been obvious why the overlap was valuable. So based on that, the Gilyon HaShas challenges Tosfot's pshat about that it was going up in level rather than diminishing in level. According to Rashi, it makes sense that the Gemara asked that question about what was the 8 day. Again, they have to give an alternative answer, but then you run into other problems with Rashi's pshat. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to discuss what they were. So that's from the Rosh Chodesh until the 8 day. That was when the Tamid was established, and they were able to win the battle against the Baitusim. Tzdukim used to say, Yachid mitnadev umevi tamid. A Yachid can donate and bring the Tamid that is brought every day. My darush, what was the drush that they made? It says in the pasuk that the keves ha'echad taseh baboker, but the keves ha'sheni taseh ben arbayim. So what we have it quoted here, the Torah Or quotes that from Midrash Chavchet was Pinchas. What we have quoted here is not from Pinchas. What we have quoted here is actually from Shmot Chavchet. It's from Tetzaveh, the Tamid in Parshat Tetzaveh. The Parshat Tamid in Parshat Tetzaveh says that the keves ha'echad, the hey idea there and ha'echad, whereas in Parshat Pinchas it says et ha'keves echad taseh baboker. So either the Torah Or is right and they were quoting Pinchas, and you just have the hey is wrong, that they whoever brought it down, wrote et akeves, should have written echad, or the other way around. If it's the Shmot Chavtet, then it's the right quote, but then the Torah Or should have mentioned Shmot Chavtet instead of Bamidbar Chavchet. Just a little nuance in the difference between those two parshiot, but they're quoting the one from Shmot Chavtet based on the gears that we have in front of us. So they says there, et akeves ha'echad taseh babokr, et akeves ha'sheni taseh ben arabayim. So there the word taseh is written in the singular, lashon yachid. Sounds like an individual can come and bring it. It's written in lashon yachid. The Gemara answers up, my haju, what was the answer that they gave to them? It said, et karbani lachmi l'ishai, lakriv reach nichoch l'ashem, tishmiru. So then we have tishmiru is written in the plural form, lashon rabim. So that was their response. Even though it says taseh in the singular form, nevertheless, when it comes to summarizing about the karbana tamid, it moves into the plural form. It says, et karbani lachmi l'ishai, reach nichochi tishmiru, lakriv libemodo, tishmiru. Is in the plural. Tishmu shows you that it's brought by the tzibur and not by the yachid. So Rashi says that they had a strong proof here of taseh versus the tishmeru, which is interesting. We'll see in later today's daf that maybe that's not so true, because there is a msora and the gra also promote this idea that whenever anything's written in the singular form, it means the tzibur, because the singular means Klal Yisrael as a whole, the body, the corporate entity called Klal Yisrael. Whenever it's written in the plural form, then it means each individual is chayav and not Klal Yisrael as a corporate entity. That's why by the Mishkan, many of the instructions or the CBM are given in a singular form, because it's the obligation is on Klal Yisrael as a whole to perform and to build the Mishkan, not on any individual. The one exception to that is the Aron, which is Vasu. By the Aron, which would then indicate that there might be a requirement of each individual to participate in the Aron. There's a famous Ramban that discusses that idea that the individuals might have participated in the Aron. So now that was the one from the Rosh Chodesh until the 8th. Now Mitanaya Be'ad Sof Ma'ada, from the 8th until after Pesach, he told them Chagat Shvaya. They established, were able to set in place the victory of setting when Shavuot would come out about Mimechad Shabbat. Lo Misbeit, according to Rashi, but Lo Mitano. Shayu by Tisim Omim Atzeret Echad B'Shabbat. Shavuot should always fall out on Sunday. It always should fall out after Shabbat. Nitafa Lehem Rav Yochanan Mezakeh. So here's the beginning of the response of the Chachamim to the Baitusim. So Rav Yochanan Mezakeh starts. Rav Lehem Shotim Minay Lechem. Where do you know this from? How do you know Mimechad Shabbat means Sunday? Lo Yadam Echad Shayam Mishivo. Nobody was willing to speak up or answer him. Except for this one zaken who was willing to start to talk back to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, was a little bit chutzpahdik, and he said, yes, Amar. Moshe Rabbeinu Ev Yisrael Haya. Moshe Rabbeinu was a big lover of Klal Yisrael. Biodeya Asher Tzeret Yom Echadu. And he knew that the holiday of Atzeret is only one day long. Amad V'tikna Achara Shabbat. So he made sure that it always would fall out on Motzei Shabbat. Kadesh Yisrael Mit Angim Mishnei Yomim. So it would always be a two-day Yantif. It would always be a two-day Yantif around Shavuot. And that's why Moshe established it. Wait, obviously some of the problems are there. First of all, what does it mean Moshe established it? This is what was given from Akash Baruch Hu to Moshe. That's number one. And number two is, what's the benefit? Now, Atzeret is a single day of Yom Tov. It doesn't have a Chol HaMoed. It doesn't have another Yom Tov at the end. But on the other hand, all Yomim Tovim are one day. I mean, even the first day of Pesach, the first day of Sukkah is all one day. Now, maybe if you include the Chol HaMoed and the latter day of Yom Tov, maybe that's enough. But you never have 2 days of Yom Tov in a row, except maybe by Rosh Hashanah, but that's all Mitzat Safek. But over here, what is unique about Atzeret that he wants to have it be 2 days? So you have to explain that it has to do with the fact that it doesn't have additional days afterwards, a Chol HaMoed or other Yom Tov at the end. But nevertheless, to put 2 days of Yom Tov together, there's no other Yom Tov that has that. But he's just trying to make a little more out of Atzeret.
At this point, they weren't bringing the Omer anymore. At this point, they weren't bringing the Omer anymore.
Exactly, the Mikdash, she lives right after the Mikdash. It doesn't matter if they're bringing the Omer, because it matters when the Shavuot's going to fall out. Whenever you set for whatever's going to be the Omer, we'll set the day also for when Shavuot will come out. Amad Karalav Mikra Zeh. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai responds to him and says, Al-Khadasar Yom Mechorev Derech Har Seir. That Bnei Yisrael were 11 days away from entering into Eretz Yisrael. They came out of Mitzrayim. As Tosos points out here, they were not only 11 days away, but in the early Sukkim and Devarim, Rashi explains that they covered that ground in 3 days. But what should have taken them 11 days, they did in 3 days. So not only are they 11 days away, but they actually, Hashem, picked up their pace to the point where they covered that ground within 3 days. If Moshe Rabbeinu was really such a lover of Klal Yisrael, Lama Yichran B'Midbar 40 Shana? Why did he hold them back in the Midbar for 40 years? The two ways to read it either are that it should have taken 11 days, instead he takes 40 years. The other possibility is that it took them, the pace that they were doing was so fast that even 11 days they covered in 3 days, and certainly they should have made it in at a much faster pace. Instead, they end up wandering around Har Seir for 40 years. Now, it's clear that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's answer is not a great answer. The reason they wandered for 40 years has nothing to do with Moshe being an Oy Yisrael, and it has to do with the fact that they sinned. Just like the same reason that when Moshe is an Oy Yisrael, really doesn't have anything to do with the fact that it would fall out on a Sunday or not. That's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's decision. So he really answered him in a way that doesn't address head-on the issue. And that's what this Zakein says back to them. Amalo Rabbi B'kachata Putrani. Says, that's what you're trying to dismiss me with? So he knew that that wasn't a real answer. That doesn't address the core issue of what it means, Mimachad HaShabbat. Tzemelo Shota says, you fool. Lo Teish Torah Shleima Shalanu Kasicha B'Teila Shalachem. Our Torah, you should not think that the words of our Torah are like your silly proofs that you bring. You bring these silly proofs because you think that's what it means. I'll tell you what the Torah really means. And that is, we're not going to put them on par with your silly reasoning. And what is that? Katuv Echad Omer. One of the psukim says, Tisperu Chamishim. Yom. It says count 50 days. But Ketuv Echad Omer, Sheva Shabbatot Timot Tiena, should be 7 full weeks. HaKetzad. How is it? 7 full weeks, 7 times 7 is 49 days. The other pasuk says 50 days. How do I reconcile that? Kan B'Yom Tov Shechal Yod B'Shabbat, Kan B'Yom Tov Shechal Yod B'Emsa Shabbat. Well, it depends when Pesach falls out. When Pesach falls out on Shabbat itself, then it actually will be Sheva Shabbatot Timot, because Rashi says it only counts as a Shabbat when it starts from Sunday, when it starts on the first day of the week. You're only going to get Sheva Shabbatot Tmimot if Shavuot falls out on Shabbat. Then it becomes Sheva Shabbatot Tmimot, and you'll have it come from Sunday to Sunday, and that'll work out. But if it falls out B'Emsa Shabbat, meaning the middle of the week, then you will not have 7 full weeks, because you will count 50 days. So those are two alternatives. When it falls out in the middle of the week, you'll have it be 50 days. When it falls out on Shabbat, meaning that Shavuot will be on a Sunday, Mimachar Shabbat really is Sunday in that case, that's a case where it'll be 7 weeks. So that's, he says, listen, according to us, there's a reason to have 7 weeks. There's a week that have 50 days because we have two different possibilities of how Shavuot can fall out. But according to you, that there's only one way that Shavuot can fall out, which is it always will be on a Sunday, then why do you need the Chamishim Yom? It always is Sheva Shabbatot Tmimot. So obviously the weakness in this pshat is that there are two different mitzvahs. Like the Gemara is going to say later on, there's a mitzvah of Count Yomim, there's a mitzvah to Count Shavuot. The two are independent mitzvot, possibly. It may have be different mitzvot even. And one is to count weeks, one is to count days. Who says that they're manifested only in in different situations or different years. That's number one. Number two is that there's an inherent stira here. It says 50 days and it says 7 weeks, which is 49 days versus 50 days, which already creates an inherent stira in the fact that you're counting 7 weeks and 50th days. What happens to the count of the 50th day? How do we deal with that? The Rishonim Achronim deal with the fact that either the 50th day, we say when we're Mekadesh the Yom itself, when we're Mekadesh Yom HaShavuot, that's the counting of the 50th day, or the 50th counting is not, it's 49 days, the 50th day will be Shavuot, not that the count. The Sfiroi is for 7 weeks, but the establishment of the day of Shavuot is on the 50th day. That's how they can reconcile between them. But again, that's the weakness in Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's pshat over here, and still really does not address the issue of Machrad HaShabbat. In the end, Machrad HaShabbat really should mean, or makes more sense to be, right after Shabbat and not after Yom Tov.
Didn't say anything about the pasuk in Machrat Shabbat. Machrat Shabbat would have been the more precise answer, because
right. That's the real reasoning, and that's the baitis he knew. It seems to be that he was also playing with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai as well by saying Moshe was an Oev Yisrael. And not giving the real reason, which everybody knows, is that it says Mimachrat HaShabbat. Because that's the obvious way to reason. So it was a game. I think they were playing a game. Rabbi Lez Omer, Eno Tzarich. Her Omer, Tisfar Lach. Sfira Tluya Bebeitin. Sheheim Yodim Lechadesh Mimachrat HaShabbat. Machrat Yom Tov. Yatzat Shabbat Breshit. Sfirata. B'chol Adam. So there are actually two manifestations of the mitzvah, or two times that the mitzvah of Sfira is mentioned in the Torah, once in Parshat Emor, and then once in Parshat Re'eh. What they're quoting here is the Parshat Re'eh, the puzzle from Parshat Re'eh, which actually says, Shiva Shavuot Tispar Lach, Mechel Chemish Bekama, Tachel Dispar Shiva Shavuot. And that comes back to what we just discussed before, that when things are written in the singular, we'll see this in a second, we'll do it in more in depth, that the word Lach, when it's written in the singular, is an obligation of Beit Din. Whereas when it's written in the plural, Lachem, is an obligation on the individuals. So you see here that in Parshat Re'eh, there's an obligation on Beit Din to count the Sfirat HaOmer. Well, why would you need Beit Din to be involved in Sfirat HaOmer? Eliam Cain, there's some sort of safek that could come up here, or there's some sort of uncertainty that would come up here. If it's always after Shabbat Breshit, if it's always on a Sunday, why do you need Beit Din to tell us when it's going to be? Just know, first Sunday after Pesach, that's when you count from. There's nothing to discuss.
It still depends on when Pesach is.
Correct. It does depend on when Pesach is. Beit Din sets Rosh Chodesh. Beit Din sets the Koveya when the Yom Tov falls out. And based on when they're Koveya Yom Tov, that will determine when Shavuot is. Because of the setting of Rosh Chodesh and Pesach, that would automatically determine when it works out. You are correct that you need to know when Pesach is in order to know when that first Shabbat is after Pesach, which is also somewhat questionable. That is one of the, I think, the strongest questions on the Tzdukim, which we'll get to towards the end of today's daf, is Mimachad Shabbat. How do you know which Shabbat then? Because they just assume, oh, we have Pesach, and then Mimachad Shabbat is the first Sunday after Pesach. Why? Mimachad Shabbat is not, it's not anchored according to them. It's not anchored on Pesach at all. It's anchored on the Shabbat. Well, if it's anchored on Shabbat, then you can pick whatever Shabbat it is. Why it has to be the one after Pesach? Right, I think that's the strongest claim against the Tzdukim over here. But when they say Mimachad HaShabbat, what we're saying is we don't need the involvement of Beit Din in the sense that L'Kadesh Shavuot will automatically come the 7 weeks, the 50th day after Pesach, after that Shabbat. After Shabbat happens, and Shabbat Breshit is always in the same time. It doesn't move. The weeks never move. Everything's fixed in place. So Sunday will always be on the same day. And you don't have to worry about it. You also know that it comes out on Sunday. Shavuot won't move. On the other hand, if you believe that it's Mimachrat Yom Tov, then Shavuot will move, and you will need the Beit Din to be involved in the process. And that's the proof of Rabbi Elazar. And Rezomer Yitzurich Haryom Erla Tispar Lach Spirat We have Beit Din. Sheim Yodim Lichadesh and Mimacharat HaShabbat Mimacharat Yom Tov. And over here, the word, probably the Tzarech Emor, Yodim LeKadesh, is probably the better girsa. Yodim LeKadesh, Mimachad HaShabbat, Mimachad Yom Tov, Yatza Shabbat Breshit, Shespirata, B'chol Adam, that anybody could do that. Rabbi Shomer, Amra Torah, Mnei Yamim, V'Kadesh Chodesh. Mnei Yamim, V'Kadesh Atzeret. Just like where it says, Rosh Chodesh, count the days, and be Mekadesh the Chodesh. Mnei Yamim, and then it tells us over here, Mitzvah to count the days, and be Mekadesh Atzeret, meaning Shavuot. Ma chodesh samuch lebi'ato nikar. Af atzeret samuch lebi'ato nikaret. Just like by Rosh Chodesh, I'll give you, Rashi has one interpretation, Rabbeinu Tam brings an additional interpretation, I'll give you a third interpretation, I think maybe possible here. Ma Chodesh Samuch Lebi Atonikar. And from the beginning, Rashi says, it's known when it'll turn out. You know that Rosh Chodesh takes 29 days, 29 and a half days, 793 Chalakim. We know that how long exactly Rosh Chodesh is going to be. So from the time that Rosh Chodesh is set, we know when it's going to turn out. From today, I can tell you when the next Rosh Chodesh should turn out. So the same thing over here. Afatzeret, Samuch Lebi Ato Nikeret. At the time that you start, it'll be Nikeret. So Rashi says the same thing over here, which is, and Rashi's girsa is slightly different, which is Samuch Lebi Ato Cheshbono Nikar. So from the beginning, you'll know how to count it. Meim etayt atchilim no, ta'ayinu miyom chavtet, shad molad alavana. Afatzeret, Samuch Lebi Ato, means minyan chamishim nikar lahem, yom kavua. She'atchilim no, bo, ta'ayinu mimachrat yom tov rishon. It'll always be a fixed day, which is the day after Pesach. You will always know when to start counting the 50 days, because you count the 50 days from the day after Yom Tov to Pesach. Exactly. Fixed relative to Pesach and when Pesach falls out. Versus the Baitusim, who will never know when it falls out, it'll always be Mimachar the Shabbat. That means it could fall out on Tetzayin Nisan, Yudzayin Nisan, Yudchad Nisan. You won't know which day to start the 50 count. It's not obvious that when to start the 50-day count, because it'll move. It's flexible. It'll move around. Again, that doesn't seem to be, again, a strong proof, because if you just said Mimachar the Shabbat, especially when Rashi's reading it, is that Macharat Shabbat, you always know it's 50 days from Sunday. It's not such a big deal. And they're anchoring it based on Pesach and the date. But if you anchor it based on the day of the week, then it also is turned out, it'll also be easy to figure out. But that's the way Rashi learns it. And he learns it probably because the next line of the Gemara, Im Tomar Atzeret Olam Machar Shabbat, if you say Atzeret always falls out on Sunday, Hech Teini Keret Mishalofanah. How are you going to know when it turns out? From the beginning, you won't know what the first day is because you don't know which day of Nisan it's going to start from. So you don't know automatically where it should start from. The truth is, you just need to know when Macharat Shabbat is, just like you need to know when Macharat Yom Tov is, and so the proof isn't so strong.
The basis for their proof was brought from the example of establishing Chodesh, which is the calendar. So just like by establishing Rosh Chodesh, we go by the 28th, you already know it's Nikeres that it's going to be Rosh Chodesh, and so too by the 15th, it's Nikeres. In other words, the proof is based on...
Correct. But you're bringing a proof that's taken away from the Pashtut HaPasuk. Very nice proof, but if I had to read Mirachat HaShabbat and read it in its simplest form, I would read it that way versus comparing it to Rosh Chodesh. Why not just read it as Shabbat? You're taking something that's we have Yamim and Rosh Chodesh, and then we have Yamim and Shavuot, so that means that the Shabbat that we're talking about is really not Shabbat. You're taking something out of the Pashtut HaKra, which is the easier way to interpret it, and you're making a harder interpretation. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that, his proof according to what he's saying is right. But I'm not saying, I don't think when you're standing up against Mimachar the Shabbat, it's not as strong a proof. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, that the Sma Chodesh Samuch Lebiato Nikar, you'll know when Rosh Chodesh is going to be because the moon disappears. So you know when the moon's going to come, because when the moon disappears, you know that Rosh Chodesh is imminent, because then you'll see the new moon. The same thing by Shavuot. As Shavuot, you know it's going to fall out on the 5th of the month, or the 6th of the month. So you'll know what the moon looks like on those days of Sivan. You'll know the 5th of the month, and when it comes around that time, you'll know exactly when Shavuot should fall out.
Awesome.
This way, Rabbeinu Tam suggests that it will be obvious when Shavuot is, because just like it's obvious when Rosh Chodesh will be because the moon disappears, you also know the size of the moon when Sivan should fall out. According to the Baitusim, it moves. It can be in a numerous number of dates in Sivan, so the moon size will not be able to be determined ahead of time. Although truthfully, even according to Chazal, Shavuot didn't have a fixed date, because it depends on whether Rosh Chodesh was Malay or not. And therefore, it also did not come out on a fixed day. So it's not such a strong proof the way Rabbeinu Tam is reading it.
It's based on counting from the...
Yeah, but it depends on whether there's a Chodesh Malay in between or not. You have two Chodeshim in between that can be Malay or Chaser.
It's a fixed number of days
from... right. Okay, I see what you're saying. You're right. Yeah, you're right. So even if it'll fall out on 5th, 6th, or 7th of Sivan, still since it's 50 days from when that date was in Pesach, then it should fall out relatively on the same day in terms of the lunar size of the moon at that point in time. That's probably true, but also depends on Pesach. Depends on whether that was set day off or not. But all right, that is a very good point. Now, I would have suggested like this, that the Rosh Chodesh, you will not know when Rosh Chodesh is until the Adim come. Samich lebiato. Until right by Rosh Chodesh, you won't know which day is Rosh Chodesh, because you won't know until you are koveya when Rosh Chodesh is, based on the Eidim. Same thing with Shavuot. You won't know when Shavuot falls out until closer to the time, until Pesach is set. Because once Pesach is set, then you'll know when Shavuot falls out. But until Rosh Chodesh is set for Nisan, you won't know when the Shavuot will fall out. So both Samuch lebiato, you only know. According to the Baik Dusin, that's not the case. You'll know it way ahead of time, because you'll know it's always going to fall out on Sunday. So it doesn't really matter when Rosh Chodesh is, because it just falls out on Sunday either way. That's my suggestion about what the comparison here is, that it's unknown. Because of the Eidut HaChodesh, it's unknown until closer to the time, whereas for the Baik Dusin, that's not the case. It is known because ahead of time, because of this idea that it's Merachat HaShabbat. You have no safek about when it's going to fall out. Right, you're one case where it's not, exactly. That's the one case where it would matter for them. Right now, the next one. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Amra Torah Have Omer v'Pesach u'Shtei Alechem v'Atzeret. Malahalan Regel v'Tchilat Regel. Just like by the Shtei Alechem, you bring it on the Regel on Shavuot and Tchilat Regel on the beginning of the Regel. Avkan Regel Tchilat Regel. Also here by Pesach, it should be on the Regel and the beginning of the Regel. Well, first of all, Shavuot is the beginning of the Regel. That's the only day of the Regel. So Tosfot says, we have to include the makeup days afterwards and Tashlumim. So that's what they mean Tchilat Regel. So just like it's the beginning of the regal by Shavuot, we bring Shtei Alechem, the Omer should also be brought at the beginning of the regal. By the Chazal, that will always work out, because it's always the day after Pesach. For the Baik Dusim, that won't necessarily work out, because there will be years when that Sunday, for instance, if Pesach falls out on Sunday itself, then they won't have the Machrat HaShabbat until the end of the regal. It will be always towards the end of the regal when they have it be the Machrat HaShabbat, and therefore it won't match up to be Tchilat HaRegel and Tchilat HaRegel. And then you have the other position that's presented by Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira or Rabbi Yoshua ben Beteira. Omer Nermar Shabbat Lamala Venermar Shabbat Lamata Malahalan Regel V'Tchilat Regel Samuchla Avkan Regel V'Tchilat Regel Samuchla. So the pasuk says Usfarta Lechem Mimachrat HaShabbat, which is what we have the machloket about. Miyom Aviyachem Et Omer Tuah Shevet Shabbatot Tumotena Ad Mimachrat HaShabbat. Ad Mimachrat HaShabbat means until after Shabbat. What's Mimachrat HaShabbat? That is Shavuot. Shavuot is Ad Mimachrat HaShabbat. That's when Shavuot falls out. Hashvit. The Machrat Hashvit. The Machrat Shabbat Shvit is when Shavuot falls out. So just like the Machrat Shabbat in the second posuk means Shavuot, means the Tchilat HaRegel is Samuchla, so too over here, the Machrat Shabbat in the first part of the posuk also means Tchilat HaRegel Samuchla. So just like the last Machrat Shabbat means the day after will be Shavuot, Tchilat HaRegel, so too over here, when we're talking about the first Machrat Shabbat, it should be at Tchilat HaRegel, the beginning of Pesach, the beginning of the Regel, and obviously for the Baik Dusim, again, they can fall out anywhere during Pesach, and therefore you won't have that consistent match up. The answer, by the way, and again, very easy to respond to this, is that if they just both mean Sunday, it's very easy. Then they both mean the same thing on Machrat HaShabbat.
It's harder for us, actually. It's much harder for us. Machrat HaShabbat HaShvi'i, it's not the day after Shavuot. Shavuot is the day after the Machrat
HaShabbat. Shabbat, you can mean Shavuot, or it could also mean after Pesach, but anyway, their interpretation is much easier, again, than what we're trying over here. Now, Tan Rabbanan, Svartam Lachem, Shetei Sfira L'chol Echad Ve'echad, that the requirement here is that be a Sfira for each individual. So we're going to come back to this in a second. This has huge implications for Sfirat Omer, for our mitzvah Sfirat Omer. We'll just finish up a little bit over here, and then we'll come back and discuss that. Mimachrat HaShabbat, Mimachrat Yom Tov, Oin Ela Machrat HaShabbat. Does it mean the day after Yom Tov, the day after Shabbat? Breishit. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, here we have a new series of Tanaim that are going to explain it. Hari Omer, Tisfru Chamishiyam Yom. Kol Sfirot Shata Sover Lo Yehelo Chamishiyam Yom. It should always be 50 days. Vim Tomar Mimachrat HaShabbat, Breishit. If you say it's the day after Shabbat, meaning Sunday, Pamim Shata Motze Chamishiyam Yom. 51, פעמים שאתה מוצא 52, 53, 54, 55, 56. It turned out to be either 50 days from Pesach, 51 days from Pesach, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, depending on when Pesach falls out during the week. It can be more than 50 days away from Pesach. You can see the weakness in this proof here. What does Pesach have to do with it at all? The 50 days are Tisbru Chamishyom, are from Yom Achad HaShabbat. That comes from the day after Shabbat. That's where we're counting the 50 days from. We're not counting the 50 days from Pesach. Because we think it's Pesach, then Chamishim Yom, if you do it on the Shabbat, then we'll be more than 50 days away. But if you think Machrat HaShabbat really means the day after Sunday, then the 50 days are that, the Machrat HaShabbat, literally of Shabbat Breishit. So that proof is not such a strong proof. Now here, it's either Rabbi Yoshua ben Beteira or Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, depending on what the Gersa was before. Omeinu Tzarich. Haru Yomer Tisparlach. It says Tisparlach in Re'ei. Sfira Atuya Bepeitin. Yatzta Shabbat Breishit Shesfirata Bechol Adam. Comes to exclude Shabbat Breishit, which has a Sfira by each individual, meaning that you don't need Beitin to establish when Shabbat is, that happens on a recurring basis without the intervention of Beit Din, whereas Yom Tov does require the intervention of Beit Din. Yossi Omar, Mimachar Shabbat, Mimachar Yom Tov, Ata Omer, Mimachar Yom Tov, Oinele Mimachar Shabbat, Breshit. Amar Tov, Chi Nemra, Mimachar Shabbat, Shabbatoch HaPesach, Halol Nemar, El Mimachar Shabbat. You're saying it's Mimachar Shabbat that's in the middle of Pesach, but that's not what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, "Marachat Shabbat, the chol shana kulam leya Shabbatot." Now, the whole year is full of Shabbatot. How do you know that it's the one after Pesach? Say b'dok, ezu Shabbat. Which Shabbat are you going to pick? How do you know Marachat Shabbat means the first Sunday after Pesach? That's not what the Torah says. The Torah says Marachat Shabbat. If you're going to define Shabbat to be Shabbat Breshit, then you have no way to anchor to know when that Shabbat is. We'll stop it over here. I think, by the way, that that's the strongest proof. In terms of Shabbat, this is the strongest proof that once you've defined Shabbat to mean Shabbat Breshit, then you don't have any legs to stand on in terms of anchoring it with Pesach. It might be in the context of Psukim, it's found in that order, but you still don't have it. If you say Makar Shabbat means Pesach, then it's anchored to Pesach, it makes sense. But if you say Makar Shabbat really means Shabbat, Breshit, Shabbat, then you have a huge issue in terms of determining what Shabbat Breshit that should be. How do you know it's not the one before Pesach? How do you know it's the one after Pesach is completely over? How do you know when to establish that Shabbat? That's unclear. And there, that's something that leaves the Baitusim in a difficult position. Now going back to the Gemara which said, but with Svartim Lachem, the Svartim Lachem which says that Shetei Svira L'Kol Echad V'Echad, there should be a Svira for each individual, that has two major implications about, number one, we'll discuss, who has to do Svirat Omer? Who's obligated in doing Svirat Omer? So it sounds like from the Gemara over here, Svartim Lachem means Svira L'Kol Echad V'Echad. The problem is that we actually have two Psukim that describe Svira. There's a Pasuk in Emor which says Svartim Lachem, but there's also the pasuk that's found in Re'eh, which is Shiva Shavuot Tispar Lach. Tispar Lach, and the Gemara already told us that Tispar Lach means Beit Din, because it's written in the singular. We have that in this week's Parsha in Parshat Bahar. It says, the Gemara, we can bring down the Sifra in Parshat Bahar says exactly that. It says, V'safarta Lecha, when it comes to Safarta Lecha of the Sheva Shanim and the Shemitot to get to the Yovel, it says Bebeitin, because it says Svarta Lecha, it means Beitin. On the other hand, we have two other Sfirot that are found in the Torah, that's for the Zav and the Zavah, and over there it says V'safra Lo and Safra La. So that would suggest that Beitin needs to be involved with the Zav and the Zavah. So that's obviously not the case, because they are the only ones who can know and the only ones who can count. But you have it, because it's written in the singular form, Safra Lo and Safra. Right, so very good. It's written in the possessive form, which would indicate that it's them, they themselves that need to do it, and not someone else who does it. So that would solve your problem over there, as well as the nature of the counting. And that's what makes a difference here, a little bit, of the nature of the counting. Over there, it's a possibility that the counting will not be steady. You could break the counting. If they see some form of Tumah, the counting will not continue on. Versus over here, by the Sfirat Omer and the Sfirat Shmitot and Yovlot, it always will be a Sfirat. But then you maybe have to draw some distinction between the Sfirat Yovel and the Sfirat Omer. Why in one indication do you have Beit Din being involved, in one case you do not have Beit Din being involved, and only the people are involved? Some of the Achronim Rishonim deal with a practical issue. By Sfirat Omer, it's the time of the Ktzira. It's a time when nobody's around and nobody can be present when Beit Din does the decoration. So they made it at night, after everybody comes in from doing their Ktzira, a time when everybody can take it and handle it, and they won't have time to hear the decoration of Beit Din. They do it for themselves and declare it for themselves. When it comes to the Yovel and Shmitin, that happens once a year. It's on, you know, Rosh Hashanah or sometime around there. Everybody is available at that time. They'll hear what Beit Din says, and they have many years to figure out what it's going to be. So therefore, from a practical standpoint, they have Beit Din do it versus the individuals do it. It's all about practical issues. The other possibility is that the nature of the counting is different. The counting, when it comes to the Shmita and the Yovel, the counting there is simply a determination for Beit Din to say when the Yovel will fall out. When will the Yovel fall out? We need to count. So Beit Din just counts as a practical matter in order to determine. Just tell us, this is year one, this is year two. Not because that Sfira itself has any meaning. The only thing that has meaning is getting to the Yovel. So it's a means to get to the Yovel, but the Sfira in itself inherently doesn't have anything to it. This might affect whether you make a bracha on the Sfira by Yovel. The Ramban leaves it b'safek. Tosfot over here leaves it b'safek. There's a Tosafot in Ketubot that says, yes, for sure, you make a bracha like Sfirat Omer. On the other hand, Sfirat Omer might have another aspect to it. The Sfirat Omer may not be about counting to a destination, But the sphere itself might have value in it. I mean, the sphere itself might actually have value, and therefore you would make a bracha on it, and the nature of the sphere would be different, where each individual needs to do the sphere, because the sphere in and of itself is valuable. See, what are you talking about, Simon? The sphere here is also to get to Shavuot, just like it is by the Ovel. But that's not necessarily true, because of the way the Pesukim read. If you read the Pasuk by Rei, it says, Shiva Shavuot Tisparlach, this is the Beit Din, Me'echel Chamesh Bekamat, Echel Yisvar Shiva Shavuot, then Vasita Chag Shavuot. So there it's clear the counting is towards Chag Shavuot. Whereas over here, when it comes to the Spartim Lachem, Mimachar Shabbat, Miyom Haviyachem Et Omer Tnufa, Sheva Shabbatot Tinyot Yena. What's the counting? The counting is from the Omer. And that's how we phrase the Omer. The counting of the Omer is, we count Hayom, like today, which is, Hayom Arba V'Esrim Yom LaOmer. We're counting from the Omer. We're not counting to Shavu, we're counting from the Omer that we brought. Now it's true, Ad Mimachar HaShavar HaShvit is Bucha Mishiyom, but that only is, he cropped the Mincha HaChadashah L'Hashem. That's only to bring the Mincha HaChadashah, that's not to establish Shavuot. So that counting by the Svartim Lechem, sounds like the counting is not to establish Shavuot, but rather a value in of itself. That might be that there are two aspects to this, there are two aspects to the count. There might be by Sfirat Omer that there's actually a kiyum in Sfirat Beit Din, and there's a kiyum of Sfirat Omer by the individuals. It's said by the Chizkuni in the Torah, it's also said by the Sfat Emet, makes some of this distinction as well as the Rav, so Soloveitchik, I brought them all down in the Makorot, I'll send them to you, makes such a distinction. I want to connect the two, I can't remember if the Rav does this, but I want to connect between the two, that the Sfira of Beit Din is about establishing Chag Shavuot. And therefore, it's all about the weeks. It's Beit Din counts as the Shiva Shavuot in order to get to the point where you get the weeks, and that's where the Sefarta Lach is. And then the Sefarta Lachem is the Sfira, which is of the individuals, which is a Sfira, which is an inherent Sfira, and that is in the individual. What's the difference? When you talk about a Sfira that's all about getting to the destination, that means the counting in of itself is not important, not valuable. The destination's valuable, like your kids when they're counting down to vacation. Everything in between is just a hindrance, something in the way between them and the destination and them and the final thing. Sfira is just how many days I have left until I get to the point where it's important. Okay, and if you believe that Sfira in and of itself is valuable, that means that each day is significant. And I think that's an important balance in Sfira to Omer itself. The destiny moving from Pesach, Yitziat Mitzrayim to Shavuot to Kabbalat Torah, is not just about getting to Kabbalat Torah. It's about the days that are between Pesach and Kabbalat Torah. Each day is significant and requires work and requires building to reach that point of Kabbalat Torah. And therefore we count in two different ways. We count to establish Shavuot, but we also say, don't just think Shavuot's the end game and that's all it's about. There's work to be done each day. Each day is significant in itself. And that might be one of the reasons why if you miss a day of Sfirat Omer, you can't continue anymore. Hashkafically, that might be the idea. You lost the idea that every day is significant. By leaving out one day, you show that not every day is significant, and therefore you've lost the count of Sfirat Omer. You've lost that value that's trying to be conveyed by Sfirat Omer. What comes out of this, which is interesting, is that the Shlach, the Kodesh, says something, the Be'er Hitiv quotes, and I never understood, he brings it in Shulchan Aruch, I never understood what he meant, it's strange. He talks about how there's this minhag in Poland that everybody daven early. He says, but now, Chadoshim Yikaro Bo'u, these Charedim al Dvar Hashem, and they make sure to daven Bizmano, on Ma'ariv, and it's a great thing that they're doing because he says they went out. Even if you can't do it all year round to daven with them bizmano, to daven after Shki after Tzeit, it's worthwhile during the Sfira. Ki az mitzvah goreret mitzvah. You gain a bunch of things. Kriyat Shema bizmana, because you're doing it at the right time, becomes Sfira to Omer b'tzibur. Sfira to Omer b'tzibur. What do you need? Sfira to Omer b'tzibur. We just said Sfira to Mechad mitzvah kol echad echad. What do you need? Sfira to Omer b'tzibur. I remember I asked Rabbi David about it. He had mentioned to me about the Rav speaking on this Chizkuni. But if you believe that there's a Sfira Ayudei Beit Din that is also required here, the Rav has the famous Torah about how every minyan, every tzibur represents Klal Yisrael as a whole. And therefore, when you do Sfira to Omer b'tzibur, it might also be a kiyum of the Sfira Beit Din in that sense. And that's why he says over here, the Shlach HaKadosh says, Gam Sfira to Omer b'tzibur. That there is an aspect that is important to do Sfira to Omer b'tzibur, not just the Sfira b'yachid. That's one aspect of Svartam Lechem, Sfira l'kol echad v'echad. The other aspect, which is equally important and very, very controversial, is the Svartam Lechem sounds like you must count yourself. That's what it sounds like from here. Svartam Lechem sheit Sfira l'kol echad v'echad. As Rashi says over here, Rashi says, l'kol echad v'echad, shekol echad chayav bispor. Each individual must do the Sfira. So there's actually, the Rashba asks on that, well, how do you know that? How do you know? Shvartim lechem means each person's got to count. So the Rashbo says over here that the Shvartim lechem, where do you know that from? How does Shvartim lechem? He says, because if it just wrote v'safartem, then it would, or Safarta, you would have thought it was based in, that would have been enough. When it says Lechem, the extra possessive Lechem, maybe that makes it L'chol Echad Be'echad. So you see that the Rashba, the Chidusha Rashba sees that the additional Lashon of Lechem is a requirement on the individual himself to count it, that they must count themselves. From here comes up a huge machlokas where you can use Shomea Ke'one B'Sfira. The Shomea Ke'one worked by Sfira. The Rashba was asked in two different Shubot, the Rashba was asked about this, whether a person can listen to the shots, say the bracha and be yotze with the bracha of the shatz. The Rashba in both cases says, Shomea Kona, why not? Of course you can do this. Now, the Rashba, which is interesting, the Shuddha Rashba is only addressing the bracha of the shatz. He's not addressing the sphere itself. So everybody quotes the Rashba as being a proof, oh, you can do Shomea Kona. The Rashba only addressed the case. Others say it was only because that's what the question was asked. That's what they were focused on. But of course he believes that the sphere is that way. The first who comes up, the Levush, is the first to mention it. The Levush says, "Umitzvah kol echad misol l'spor l'atzmo ve'ein achad yotzei b'sfirat chavero afilu omer amein." The Levush is saying even the bracha you can't do. Forget about the sfira, but the amein itself shekein mashmo to svartem lechem sheit sfira l'kol echad ve'echad. You have to do a sfira. You got to make the bracha, and you have to count the sfira. It's your obligation. Nobody else can do it. The Eliyahu Zuta there disagrees, as well as the Pri Chodosh, who take issue with this Levush and say, "No, svartem lechem. You can even do it through shomei kone." He says, by the bracha, the chatchila, you can do it shomei kone. By the sfira, the chatchila, you should do it on your own. But b'di'evet, you can be yotzei b'shomei kone. Later on, there are others who take issue with the Pri Chodesh. Where did he come up with that distinction? The Birkei Yosef, when he discusses it, he goes, where did he come up with that distinction? Who made such a distinction? A b'di'evet, the chatchila, and shomei kone. Shomei kone either works or doesn't work. There's no such thing as shomei kone being, yes, kind of, but not. Either shomei kone is or is not working over here. You have the Magen Avraham who lines up on the side of the Levush, who also says that you have to do it. There's no Shomei Kone by Sfira. You have the Pri Migodim who says that a person who hears Kiven, let's say, B'Sfira Tashlech Tzibor Yachzor V'Yispor below Bracha. Should go back Rechoshesh for those Deot, and that's the way we Paskin in the end. Interesting is that there was a Minhog in Mitzrayim and in Eretz Yisrael that they used to have it the other way around. They used to have it that the people counted first and then the shots afterwards. They were Noheg. I have the Tshuva here of Nar Mitzrayim quotes in the Ketor Shem Tov that they switched the Minhog. They forced the Minhog the other way. They canceled that. They pushed that Minhog out. Have the shots count first and then the people. Why? Because everybody's getting confused. Everybody went to count. Nobody knew what it was day it was, and everybody was screaming out what they thought the day was, and it just turned out to be a balagan, and people were making the wrong bracha. It was a bracha of the batala. They couldn't do it. And then the shots would say it afterwards. What was the benefit of that? So they switched around that the shots would do it, both in Eretz Yisrael and Mitzrayim, that the shots would do it first, and then the people, so they know what day it was of the Omer in order to count the Omer. Question is, what was the original minhag? So those that suggested the original minhag was that they were afraid if they let the shatz do the bracha and the sphira first, that people would come to be yotze or try to be yotze with the shatz, which is not allowed. And therefore, in order to avoid that, they put the shatz afterwards. Right, and puts you into a suffix bracha, which is the Pri Migudim, and says you have to count without a bracha afterwards. So they didn't want that situation, so they put the shatz afterwards. But they realized in the end that it was the cost was too high, and therefore they moved it back to the shatz being in front of it. Right, well, that's what the bracha. The bracha is much easier to have Shomei Kone. Most people agree, except for the Levush, who seems to say no. Most people seem to agree that the bracha, you can say Shomei Kone. But the Levush says no, but by the Sfira is the main area where the Shomei Kone. The Rav has a piece of Torah where he says that the requirement is Sfira. The requirement is not Kriya. The requirement is not a Mira here. When you're talking about Shomei Kone, that's when you have a requirement to say something. You have a requirement of a Mira Shira, then you can say Shomei Kone. God bless you. When you have a requirement of Sfira, Sfira requires counting and not listening to someone else. It means literally to count. To count. Now he brings down, he doesn't understand why the Shari Tuva has a suffix about if you use Roshei Tevot to count, if that's good enough. Rav says, why not? Who says you have to have an Amira of the Omer? You have to have a Sfirat Omer. The Roshei Tevot is a Sfirat Omer, and it counts as Sfirat Omer. He says, I don't understand the Safek. But he distinguishes between Sfira and Amira to say why Shomei Kone can't work over here. Because the requirement here is Sfira and not Shomei Kone. Many people connect this to a major machlokas of Shomei Kone in Shomei Kone B'chol HaTorah Kula. It's machlokas Rashi and Tosfot, what it means Shomei Kone. Tosfos believes Shomei Kohoneh means that literally it's as if you said it. Versus Rashi, who believes that Shomei Kohoneh is that you listen to your Yotzei, but it's not as if you literally said it. So if you connect those two back here, it would work. According to Tosfos, it says as if you literally said it, then you can use Shomei Kohoneh by Sfira, because it's as if you were it was as if you were Sofer. When someone else counts, you hear it. Shomei Kohoneh makes it as if you were Sofer. According to Rashi, that's only a din in being Yotzei. That's only when we're talking about, again, a Mira, a Halel, something where you require an obligation to discharge in terms of Shmiah, that it works. Over here, the din is not in Shmiah, it's din in Sfira, and therefore, for Rashi, you can't be Yotzei between Shmiah and Mahoneh. They line up those two Deot with the Deot over here, you know, put them together to reconcile them in explaining what the difference between in Shomei Kohoneh. The Rav also spoke about this with the Rambam. The Rambam in some places says you need a main, and other places says you don't need a main for Shomei Kohoneh. That's what it says. If you low amar main, yatsa, that it works. So the Rambam
says
right, Mara says it explicitly. The Rambam in some places says yes and not. So Rav wanted to suggest that the Rambam says when he says you don't say Amen, then it's Shomei Kohoneh like Rashi. That you Yotzei, but it's not as if you said it. When you answer Amen, it becomes Kohoneh, like as if you said it. So that might make a difference in terms of saying Amen, it'll make a difference. Although, where the Rav learned that Sfira is not a din in Shomei Kohoneh, it wouldn't matter at all by Sfira to Omer. But, possibly, if you didn't accept that part of the Rav, but you accepted this idea that the Amen could make it into an Aniyah, it might be that the Amen helps. And the Rav discusses a concept like this of saying Amen after the Bracha and the Sfira, rather than just after the Bracha itself, because they're integrated here. The Bracha and the Sfira, like according to the Levush, are integrated. Just like you can't Sfira l'kol echad, Bracha l'kol echad v'achad. The Bracha and the Sfira are integrally connected, and therefore the Amen maybe should come after both of them. And that's why you can't have Shomei Kohoneh over here, even by the Bracha, according to the Levush. Okay, just from that little Sfartam Lechem, those are two major issues. Tomorrow, I'll send up the course for this. Tomorrow is the Machlokes whether Didarabonah Midoraita, Mizman Hazeh, in terms of Sfirat Omer, as well as the issue of what happens if you miss a day. Can you count during the daytime? Or can you count the following night, even if you missed the day? Machlokes Tosafot and the Bahag. I put them all in the Makor for you to see, but that'll be tomorrow's death. I'm sure Rabbi David will spend time on it.